Amen. On this Pentecost Sunday, good morning, beautiful people of God.
Good morning.
That was okay. It was better than before, but you can do a lot better than that. This is Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate the birth of the church. Good morning, beautiful people of God. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2, which is what the video is that you saw, the wonderful scripture, will undergird today's passage. I'm going to be preaching from Romans. Are you okay with that? Oh, someone said, uh-oh. I love it. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. I may do a little walking today. Is that okay with you? All right. 22 through 27. Uh-oh, my age is showing. We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now. And it's not only the creation. We ourselves who have the Spirit as the first crop of the harvest also groan inside, as we wait to be adopted and for our bodies to be set free. We were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope. Who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows the Spirit thinks, because he pleads for the saints, consistent with God's will. The one who searches our hearts. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Holy Spirit came to Jesus' disciples, hidden in an upper room in Jerusalem. A violent wind and tongues of fire were the symbols of a new thing happening in their lives. May your Holy Spirit burst into our lives today, encouraging and inspiring us to boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, who offers comfort, healing, and hope to all people. And all of God's children said, amen. As I was preparing for this message, it dawned on me that this year will be my Pentecost year. You cannot tell a soul. You will get this in a moment, because I laugh every time I think about it. Pentecost is from the Greek word meaning 50. Really? Somebody said, oh. It is referring to the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is one of the most exciting days in our Christian year, a celebration of the birth of the church, a time when the disciples no longer huddled together, filled with fear, but instead were energized to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of God's love through the resurrection of Christ, and today the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Saints, we celebrate today with energy and reverence. And you may not know this, but some churches actually sing Happy Birthday. So guess what? Let's sing Happy Birthday, dear church. Can we do that? Who's going to start us off? Me?
Yes.
Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear church. Happy birthday to you.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Though we as the body of Christ do not always get it right, Pentecost gives us a moment to love on the church just a little bit. Because if it were not for the church, for the movement of the Holy Spirit, for the community of faith, for the teachers and the mentors, the preachers and the pastors, for each of you who stand up for change and justice and healing and peace and mission and service and generosity, we would not be here. More of God's children would go hungry. Many more of God's children would be on the street. Many more of God's children would be without adoptive parents or God's people to advocate for them. And to be quite honest, many of us would not be here striving to live a healthy and whole life, prayed for and given a hand up out of the darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. Happy birthday, dear church. Pentecost was a conversion experience where over 3,000 people came to know Christ. Pentecost, on this 50th day of proclaiming ourselves as resurrection people, is a day of celebration, inspiration, encouragement, and hope. This celebration originates in the traditional Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, where the gathered disciples, after witnessing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, now witness and experience the presence and the power of the Helper, God's Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, as the Spirit enabled them to speak, we witness the perplexity and fulfillment of the promise in chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." As we celebrate the birth of the church, Romans 8 invites us to stand at the edge of mystery, where the passage of Scripture provides the greatest encouragement for hope. A hope that patterns our life after Jesus Christ, a hope that God, through the Holy Spirit, is intimately connected and involved in our day-to-day activity. How have you witnessed the Holy Spirit move in your life? How have you witnessed the Holy Spirit move in the life of this church? How have you witnessed the Holy Spirit move in this world? Several years ago, before I was appointed here to Cokesbury, you all know I had a junior, had, H-A-D, she has since graduated, a junior in high school. And when the bishop calls, right, you answer. Sorry, Bishop Graves, sometimes you don't want to, but you do. Well, he called in this particular day telling me I was appointed here, but I had a daughter who was going into her junior year of high school. So this was in February. And I said, we have time to make a decision. We have time about what's next, whether or not you're going to stay here or go to the school in Pensacola. We have time. Let's pray and discern how God will use this moment. So we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And then one night, she says to me, "Mom, I want to live with the Stones." And I said, "What?" They still live in Mobile. And I said, "Well, let's pray about that." The very next day, the Stones came into my office and said, "We would like for Kira to live with us." This is how the Holy Spirit works through prayer, through this harmony with God, through this utterance. I really didn't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit knew what I needed and knew what my daughter needed before we could even articulate what we needed together. The Holy Spirit moved in a way that opened us up to receive a gift from God. How have you seen the Holy Spirit move in your life? The Apostle Paul, the author of Romans, uses this analogy of childbirth. The pain of groaning that accompanies the manifestation of something new. Are you familiar with the term growing pains? Yes, amen. We have heard it used to describe the physical growth one endures from a young age. We have also heard it used to describe interpersonal relationships, from family dynamics to friend groups, even within our beloved community of faith. The foundation of Acts, coupled with Romans, shows us how the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, intensely inspires and manifests change, transformation, and in many cases, courage. The Spirit of God does amazing, tender, and desperately needed work in and around our world. And today, like the Spirit in Romans, we are given permission to not only celebrate, but to groan, to sigh deeply for creation together, to groan and sigh deeply for creation together. To groan is to make a deep, inarticulate sound in response to pain or despair. To groan is to make a low creaking or moaning sound made by an object or device under pressure. I believe we cannot acknowledge and celebrate God without balancing the two together. We groan and we sigh for the pain and despair that exists in these walls and outside of these walls. In my heart, groaning is an articulate response to a world that needs salvation. We groan for our brothers and sisters who need Christ. We groan for those who are in prison. We groan for the families who need us now more than ever. We groan for those who are hungry and for those children without parents. We groan. We groan and we sigh together. As followers of Jesus, we not only keep our eye on the future glory, we also keep an ear out to hear the groaning. So when we go, we impart healing and hope upon those who need it the most. We groan as a community of faith. So how, beautiful people of God, do we celebrate and elevate the Holy Spirit amid the groaning of creation? How do we celebrate amid the groaning that is within us? How do we celebrate and elevate the Holy Spirit amid the groaning that is happening in our world? How do we do that? With one word: patience. Okay, I may have lost some of you because no one likes the word patient. Whenever someone tells me to be patient, I may groan out of rebellion, right? So amid this groaning, we celebrate the Holy Spirit with patience and trust. Amid this groaning, we celebrate the Holy Spirit with worship and prayer. Because I want you to hear these words. You do not need to worry if you do not know what to pray. Because the scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is helping us along. We grow. We sigh amidst the pain. But we're patient with a God who promises us salvation and love. I love how the Message translation puts it. It says, all around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We are also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. The more joyful our expectancy. What the scripture doesn't say is the worst thing you can ever do is ask a pregnant woman or her partner, when is her due date? The worst thing that you could ever do. But yet, in the midst, we await in anticipation of a more joyful expectancy of what God is about to do. The Message translation continues and says, meanwhile, the moment, saints, we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside of us, helping us along, strengthening us, encouraging us, giving us peace and hope, urging us to do something for someone else, stirring us to pray. The Message continues. If we don't know how to pray, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit does our praying in and for us. If that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what. Making this prayer out of our worldless sighs, our aching and our groans. The Holy Spirit knows far better than we know ourselves, knows our condition, and keeps us present before God. You're always present before God. Even when you may feel like you are not, the Holy Spirit keeps you there. Saints, we may never be able to fathom what happened in Acts 2. We may never experience this Pentecostal moment for ourselves, where people are speaking in different languages and 3,000 folks are saved. But Romans reminds us that what the Holy Spirit does for us today is to bring our concerns and the will of God into harmony. To bring our concerns and the will of God into harmony amid the celebration, the birth, the church. One way in which Cokesbury, in our mission for Christ, hears and sees and experiences the groans of creation, the groans you share with us, is through our congregational care team, where phone calls are made to check on you. Emergency prayer lines are active for you. Cards are sent to share love with you. Records are updated. Prayer shawls are mailed and dropped off. Visits are made to homes and hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living facilities where prayers are prayed on your behalf. We celebrate with you. And we also groan and sigh as our concerns for you and the will of God are brought into harmony. This is the church, transforming lives in the middle of this movement, because we are resurrection people. There are many, many great mysteries in our spiritual walk. I don't understand what took place between our prayer time as we discerned what was next for our family coming here. But God did. God knew. God walked. And we waited. Beautiful people. Understanding the power of prayer and waiting, understanding the marks of grace and the work of faith may not ever come, but the Holy Spirit knows your concerns, knows your thoughts, knows the depths of your soul, and walks with you. This is the birth of the church, the birth of our community. Romans says, we were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope. Who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. So let us celebrate this loving God with patience, who sent a helper to guide us in our weakness, pulling us through this present time with groans and sighs, with hope and patience, while leading us with joy. Saints, let us hope for what we don't see in expectancy. Let us wait with trust and love, demonstrating to the world our work of faith, the work of hope within us, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and patience. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.